Wow. My sword. Get your Bibles out. John chapter 1. Who started this mess? Holy Spirit, right? Amen. Bless the Lord. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this morning started a long time ago with you, Father. We don't get stuck in today. We don't get stuck in tomorrow or yesterday, Lord. Thank you for what you've been planning on doing from the very foundation of the earth. Thank you that you worked it from the end back to the beginning and the beginning to the end, and that we just have to do what you tell us to do on this particular moment. Thank you that your word is going to come forth here this morning, simple, straightforward, easy to understand. And as Steph stood and said, everybody walks out of here with something in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Wowzers. No. I have 1,000 things in 1,000 directions, but I'm just going to go here. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Turn over to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 27. John chapter 10, Jesus is talking about being the shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. John, Jesus' right-hand man, we're going to go over to John 14 here just a second, but before we jump there, John writes chapter 1 that Jesus was in the beginning, and Jesus was the Word of God. And that the Word of God, which is, per John, Jesus and the Word, they're not separable. That Word created all things that ever existed and ever exist today. That Word created that. Jesus then, in John chapter 10, says that I know my sheep, they know me, and they follow me. If Jesus is the Word, then those sheep are following the Word. Hold on to that thought. Go over to John chapter 14. We're flowing now. Thank you, Lord. I know what we're doing. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. Remember that phrase, Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because they don't see Him. They don't know Him, but you know Him, for He dwelleth within you and shall be in you. Go down to verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you. Last scripture for this section, chapter 16. Just turn over. This is all John. Chapter 16, verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. This is amazing. Jesus says, I have many things to say unto you, but you can't bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. He will glorify me, for he shall receive of me and shall show it unto you. All things that my Father has are mine. Therefore said I that he, the Holy Spirit, is going to take from me and show it unto you. What we just laid out here is what's going on. So what we just laid out is, and I asked the Lord what he wanted me to share all day yesterday. Didn't have much. Last night came very, very clear that I was just to kind of preach out of the overflow of where I'm at. I want just to kind of talk here for a second, and if you anybody wants to weigh in on this, I'm fine with that as well. John starts out by saying, Jesus is the Word. Then Jesus comes in later and says, the Spirit of truth is going to come. I'm going to leave. So in the beginning, Jesus says, follow me. Do what I tell you to do. Then he says to those following, I'm going to leave, and I'm going to go sit by the Father, but I'm going to send someone who's going to basically tell you what I'm saying to you. He's not ever going to say anything about himself. He's only going to tell you what I'm saying to the church to be done. And Jesus says, I have lots and lots of things that I'm not going to say to you right now. So Jesus is actively, and let me kind of uncover this, what we're going about. Jesus is actively guiding the church. The Holy Spirit is in the middle, actively telling us what to do. Now, that gets tricky. That's not a science. Right, Matt? You and I, kind of, Matt, I think, said a couple Sundays ago, you got to be careful who you let butt in. Like, I agree. It can get messy, but at the end of the day, we'll talk about this in a second. The reality is we have the Word, which is right here. The reality is Jesus says, you have me, but I'm leaving, and the Holy Spirit's going to tell you what I want you to know, and that I have a lot of things to tell you. Okay? That in and of itself is like, what? Like, how's that going to work? Like, what if you hear something different than I hear, and Matt hears something completely different than what I hear? Well, it can get a little messy. I'll give you a little tidbit. That's okay. We'll go there in just a second. Okay? Go there in just a second. Take your hand. Put it about an inch from your face. Not yet, because you all look funny here. A second. I'm going to go 1, 2, 3. And at when I go to 3, I'm going to say, I want everybody to do this. I want you to say, let there be light. Okay? So let there be light. I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, let there be light. I want you to have your hand in front of your face. Okay? So ready? Put your hand up about an inch away. 1, 2, 3, let there be light. Do it one more time. 1, 2, 3, let there be light. All right. Two questions. What did you hear? Yeah, what'd you hear? If I had to say, what'd you just hear, Steph, what would you write down? Let there be light. Amen. Okay? What did you feel? Huh? You felt breath. Spirit of truth. Pneuma is the Greek word. It's just the breath of God. Truth, there's only one truth. It's the Word of God, which is Jesus, the Spirit. Now, that's a flesh analogy of something spiritually. So that's not a perfect analogy, but the Spirit, the breath of God, and the Word of God are not separable. It's cool to think about this just a little bit. So, which I'm not going to keep thinking about. I'm just saying you guys can think about this on your own and dig around. The Spirit of truth is come. When God said, light be is what you would have wrote down, but light be didn't actually make light come. The breath of God is what made light come. The life of God, the Zoe of God, is what actually made and created the light. When God had Adam and formed him up and he's there and he lets go of him and he drops and he picks him up and he drops and he picks him up and he's dropped, he's not alive yet. He's not alive till he looks at him and Genesis says, he says, man be. and man was. It wasn't man B, it was man B with the breath. The Zoe of God connected to those words, and that man became Adam in Genesis. Jesus says right here, however, when he, the breath of the truth, the breath of Jesus, the breath of the word, comes, he will guide you into all truth. I said this a few months ago, that the ecclesia, Jesus described the Holy Spirit to Nicodemus in description like what? The wind. Can you catch the wind, Matt? Do you know when it's coming? Do you know where it's going? Well, you could probably listen to some meteorologists, but the reality is you can't catch the wind. So, what's this mean for us? It means this is messy. It means that the Holy Spirit, who has got characteristics like the wind, but yet has the Zoe of God connecting to the Word of God, is coming and going. And we're going to look at this here in just a second in Acts. We're going to look at a real story that started out really clean and turned out really messy. And you'll maybe you know it, but we'll see it here in just a second. It's all right. So first of all, I just want to make a statement that I'm okay with messiness. I'm okay with let's get in and go with the Holy Spirit. Now, let's go over to Acts chapter 13. We were there on Wednesday night. It's interesting. I always ask the Lord, these things are sometimes not a science. I want you to read chapter 13. I'll just start here. Ready? Chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, Simeon, that was called Niger, and I don't know, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. The word church is ecclesia. You guys know this. Now there were in the ecclesia prophets and teachers who were doing this. And basically, they're ministering to the Lord. We'll come back to this. They're ministering to the Lord. And the Holy Spirit says to somebody. Now, I bet I read, 20 commentaries on this just to get a feel. And not a single commentary said that was an audible voice. I'm not sure if it was or not. Don't know. More than likely, you can find other places where people, the Holy Ghost said, but almost never was it an audible voice in the Scripture. It was somebody had a sense, right? They had an unction. We already know that Jesus said this. Okay, the reason I read you Jesus' words, he's the one we're going after, and he basically said the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to guide you. He's going to bring to your remembrance, was one scripture. So there's a memory function here. The Holy Spirit's going to work through your memory to remind you of what Jesus said. He's also going to guide you. It doesn't mean that he's going to necessarily come in and teach you. It does say he's a teacher, but it doesn't mean it's all audible. So somewhere down inside, there's this unction, there's this pressing, there is this thing. Now, here's what's interesting. So they're ministering to the Lord, right? And so the prophets and teachers and Paul and Barnabas are in there, and the Holy Spirit arrests somebody, or maybe it's a combination of things, I don't know, and says, separate Saul and Barnabas. I have work for them to do. Now, on Wednesday night, we did this, and I'll come back to the Wednesday night kids thing just a second. But most of you would say, man, when the Holy Ghost does something, that just locks it in. Like, it's awesome. Let me burst your bubble here for a second. Two chapters later, Paul and Barnabas are fighting over John Mark and separate. And there's no mention of the Holy Ghost speaking to them in chapter 15 to go ahead and separate. So we start out in chapter 13, they're ministering to the Lord, and the Holy Ghost comes and says, separate you two and come up here and you guys go do the work. And everybody, praise the Lord, hallelujah, Holy Ghost showed up and gave us something. And then two chapters later, they're fighting and going, we're not going together anymore. So it's messy. Okay? The point being is that Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, the breath of God, and the Spirit of truth, that when it's the community of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, when they speak to something, that's set as truth forever. And if there's something in the way, it's going to get out of the way. When God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit decided to involve us humans, it got a little less matter of fact and got a little messier. And that's all right. As all of you were, where's Olive? Where'd she go? Oh, she's right there in my spot. Wow, that's weird. So when Olive was praying, the oneness of the body, the thing that kind of breaks things apart, and the thing that I am convinced God is calling us up to, is to break out of these walls and get this pneuma, get this Spirit of truth that functions in our body, and the Holy Spirit's doing something, and there's a fire, and it's just all over the place, and it's going to spill, and it's going to get messy. But if that fire is contained in these four walls, we have completely missed it. Okay, this fire has to get out there. And then when that messiness shows up out there, frankly, sometimes it's not that messy. Because usually people get delivered, people get healed, things happen, and people get happy, right? And deliverance happens. So let the messiness out there. We'll figure out how to get along in here. What are you laughing at? What? You don't know? That's good. Jesus said, I'm the Word. He said the Holy Spirit's coming. He said the Holy Spirit's going to show you about me, and he's also going to show you things that I actually want to tell you, but you can't hear, which means, listen, when the Holy Spirit said to David and Dr. Scott apparently has been pounding the fair for a few weeks. David, besides Dr. Scott, has been hearing about the fair. Besides those two, have been hearing about the young kids, and my mentor saying, get out of the way of the young kids. Okay, when David says in the worship commission, we think we ought to send the kids to the fair. Guess what? There wasn't any fair when the Bible was written. Jesus didn't speak about the DeKalb County Fair. This may have been one of the things he said. I have many, many things to tell you, but some of them don't even exist right now. Right? Because this was a long time ago. Well, if we believe the Word of God is true, then there's going to come a point right now where Holy Spirit comes in and says, hey, I got something for those young kids to do, and the Holy Ghost says, I want you to pray over them, and we pray over them, and boom. That's going to happen a billion times. Okay? That equals messiness. I think my message this morning, don't title it because I don't really know, but it feels like I'm simply saying, get used to messy. It's going to be a little messy when we're trying to work out the Spirit of God. To lock it down and go, we have to run everything, the Spirit of God, through 10 little check boxes in the back room to make sure it functions right, we'll just completely miss the Spirit of God. Like, we have to flow, okay? But the second part of that is, just having it in here is no good. I'm just telling you, having it in here is no good. Second part of my message, and we'll wrap up, because I really didn't have a lot. Look back at chapter 13 here. Verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia. Fasting and prayer. I have been really, really absorbed in fasting and prayer. Let me clarify that. I have not been fasting and prayer. I've had the Lord talking to me about fasting and prayer, and me probably resisting. I don't like fasting. Just so you know, it's not really great on my flesh. But here's the point. I want to bring this up because this came up the other night. We came in the other night, and I knew when David said in the worship meeting, "Hey, I think we're supposed to lay." I had this scripture on my heart. I think I told everybody Wednesday night that. And I wouldn't be surprised if this morning, Spirit of God working as a result of some fasting and prayer, because I challenged everybody on Wednesday night to do some fasting and prayer, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's another level here. Let's look at just three or four really quick scriptures about fasting and prayer, and then I'm going to close, because I'm simply going to just point out what the scripture says about this, and then I'll add a few comments at the end. Acts 10, real quick. Acts 10, and look at verse 30. This is Peter. Peter is down at Cornelius' house. Everybody knows he's had a dream. He shows up at Cornelius' house, and he says to Cornelius, "Why am I here?" And verse 30 is Cornelius' answer. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed. Cornelius was fasting and praying, and it brought the Apostle Peter to his front door. Amen? It brought the Apostle Peter to his front door because he was fasting and praying. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. I guess it brought the angel, which brought Peter. But the point being is, there is fasting and prayer there. Go over to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, verse 20. Hold on a second. 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and this is Paul and Barnabas, I believe, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned unto Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord, on whom they believed. Last scripture, go over to Matthew 17. There's a lot on fasting in the Bible. I'm cutting some stuff short here this morning. Here's the thing: when you look up fasting in the Old Testament, and I'm going to come back to this final point of worship here in just a second. But when you look up fasting in the Old Testament, and I would say there's, 50 to 100 scriptures, and I glazed through all of them as best I could quickly, but I didn't do an in-depth study, so I can't say 100% of the time. But I did not see a scripture, so I would say that in the high 90% of the time, the Old Testament fasting was related to mourning, grieving. It was an apology to God. It was, "I'm sorry for whatever's happened, or something really bad's happened in my life, and I'm trying to figure out how to get straight, and I'm making penance." I don't know if that's a word, but I'm making a sacrifice to you, God, so that you would do something for me. And that, I mean, almost all of fasting in the Old Testament is that way. Conversely, fasting in the New Testament, which we'll look at here in just a second, is more of a worship. It's more of a sacrifice to help God. Olive mentioned that, or one of up here praying. There's the idea in the New Testament that because Jesus has died for me and I'm righteous, I'm not really repenting, or I'm not doing anything like that. I'm actually moving with God, and I'm trying to minister to the Lord through my fasting. Now let's look at Matthew 17, because this is interesting. Jesus addresses some fasting and prayer here. I just have to find out. I didn't write down any of the scriptures here, so I apologize for this, but let's 17. Yes, okay. I don't want to go right there. I want to go up to 14, but thank you. You got me to my actual scripture. Thank you, Joe. So 14. So they're coming down off the mountain. Peter, James, and John went up on the mountain transfiguration with Jesus. They're coming down, and verse 14 says this: "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son. He is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him.' Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me.' And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, 'Why could we not cast him out?' Jesus said unto them, 'Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you should say to this mountain, "Remove hence to a yonder place," and it should be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. However, this kind does not go out but by prayer and fasting." I've always been amazed at this. So here's what I want to point out: a couple things. Jesus, in verse 20, says, "Because of your faith." Now, we know that Jesus has taught about faith a lot. You mentioned Mark. I think you were reading from Mark chapter 4, part of your Matthew, but Mark chapter 4 also talks about the parable of the sower. And Jesus, in all of Mark chapter 4, talks about faith and how you receive the word. The Spirit of God works with you, and you either produce fruit or you don't produce fruit. And actually, at the end of Mark chapter 4, he talks about the grain of mustard seed. He basically says, if you have faith, you can plant it, and it's going to grow, and it's going to be awesome. And normally, I would say, having studied the Scripture, that if you believe in God and you have faith, you're going to do pretty good. Like God, that's what God's looking for. Like you're going to believe in Him, and you're going to move, and you're just going to be generally successful with God if you believe in Him. But Jesus says a really interesting thing in verse 21. After scolding them for their unbelief, He says, "But by the way, you couldn't have fixed this with that anyways." He says, look what He says. He says, "However, this kind is only coming out by prayer and fasting." We're not going to go into this morning. Here's all I want to point out. Jesus did not say this one only comes out by prayer and fasting. He said this kind. The last time I preached 2 weeks ago, we talked about following Christ. We talked about becoming like Christ. We talked about what Ephesians says, walking in the fullness of Christ. And we discovered three things Jesus did all the time. He communed with the Father, He confronted the devil, and He created victories or freedom for people. In this story, two of the three things that He normally does, His disciples were having problem with. They weren't doing really well at confronting the devil, therefore they weren't creating freedom for this young man. And Jesus came into the situation and basically confronted the devil and created freedom for the young man, and then told His disciples later on, the only way you're ever doing that is if you learn to fast and pray. Like, you're not going to walk in My fullness without fasting and prayer. And I made a statement, and I'm going to kind of generally wrap up with this, and we're going to go back to Acts, and I'm going to close. But I felt like it was the Spirit of God on Wednesday night saying to that particular crowd, we're on this level, and the Spirit of God is picking us up and moving us. And if you can't feel that, pinch yourself. But Spirit of God is working us. We're going to be stuck here. We're not going up another level until we start becoming a church that fasts and prays on an often basis. Okay? Now, I want to be careful here. I'm not calling a fast. I'll explain that in just a second. A church that fasts and prays is one that can do things that are beyond the scale of just good faith. That's what Jesus is saying. Jesus said you can have faith, but even if you had faith, you'd have to add fasting and prayer to remove this kind. This kind. I won't go into it. There's layers of demonic activity. Let's just say that. I'm not scaring anybody, but there are things that you can't just go confront without having some preparation for it. Okay? But the reality is, if we're going to walk in the fullness of Christ, and we're going to go down to the fair, and we're going to go out into the world, we're going to have to confront the enemy. So there's another level we're going to have to go to. So turn back over to Acts, and then I'll close, I promise. Well, amazing. I really didn't know what I was going to talk about this morning, but this is good. I'm getting ministered to. My spirit's on fire. Verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, lots of translations. I'm sorry, back to Acts 13. Thank you, Nick. Acts chapter 13, back where we started. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. I probably read 5, 6, 7 different translations. This could easily be put in the Greek like this. As they worshiped the Lord in fasting and prayer. As they worshiped the Lord in fasting and prayer, the Holy Ghost said. As they worshiped the Lord in fasting and prayer, the Holy Ghost said. Does anyone want to hear the Holy Ghost speak? Isn't that the goal? Okay, I feel, and this is part of my message, that for me, and maybe for you, and maybe for the body of Christ, that in order to dial in the Holy Spirit, so we move from messiness to a little more accuracy, okay, the way to get out of messy to a little more accurate is to get a little more clarity on what Holy Spirit wants to do. Before we get more clarity, there may be 5 or 6 of us have to sit down and go, I'm not feeling that, I'm feeling that, I'm not feeling that, and we'll work it out. There'll come a time when we're so accurate, there won't be any differences in what Holy Spirit's saying. In order to get there, we might have to do some fasting and praying. What I'm not saying is this, and again, this is where I want to kind of close. Well, two things I want to close on, but as one of the leaders, and there's many in the church, as one of the leaders, if I said, we're all fasting on Tuesday, that's probably what you would sound like. Okay? Amen. That was like Holy Spirit inspired right there. No! Yes. Then what would have happened is I would have heard from the Holy Spirit and we all would have fasted. That's not the order of importance for me. The order of importance for me is that you hear from the Holy Spirit, and if you fast, great. I would rather have you hearing from the Holy Spirit than fasting because I said so. Does that make sense? So what we want to do is we want to hear from Holy Spirit first, because that's what Jesus said. Jesus said, I'm the Word. The Holy Spirit's going to remind you of the Word, and then He's going to give you some other stuff. That's the most important. And if you're not hearing from the Holy Spirit, then you can just simply fast and pray so you hear. Then you move to the other part of fasting and prayer. There is a fasting and prayer that just works on me, just brings me to something. But then there's the body of Christ fasting and prayer where we're ministering to the Lord. We're worshiping Him to find out what He wants the body to do so that we can get a little more precise, a little more accurate. So I'm not standing up here saying, let's all call fast. I did have the Lord say this to me. There will be networks that start to take place. There will be three or four of you that are good friends, or there'll be groups that say, hey, I'm like him, or hey, that was, I'll use Anna since she's my niece, she won't care. I may wake up and go, you know what, I'm feeling like Anna and I should fast, and because I know her, I'll call her and say, hey, Anna, you think about fasting Tuesday? And she says yes. That's different than me standing up here as a leader saying, hey, the Holy Ghost said we all should fast on Tuesday, because I know that she'll say, no, I don't think so, okay? But there'll be networks, not just here, but there'll be networks in the body of Christ all around, okay? And we need to join. Do you got something? Are you? Oh, you're just moving your hand over there? Okay, sounds good, David. At least you didn't raise your hand. I got you. All right, praise the Lord. Last thing, and then I'm done. Worshiping the Lord. I love worship. I have a soapbox I've been standing on for a couple years, and that is, I don't like when this is referred to as church. I like ecclesia, because ecclesia is everywhere this morning. I don't like saying I'm going to church. I don't like it, okay? I like saying I'm going up to meet with the church. I'm going up to meet with the body of Christ. I don't like defining the body of Christ as a time and place, because that's not what Scripture says. The second thing that is probably also something that the body of Christ needs to work on is that worship that is defined at a place and time and is simply about music, which is great, love it, that is scripturally, it's so much bigger than that. In fact, Acts right here says that they worship the Lord in praying and fasting. There's sacrifice there. And I'm good, I love songs. I have lots of kids who are involved in ministry and everybody, and Ray, it's done for years. So I like it, I don't have a problem with that. I just don't want to narrow our idea that worship is somehow a song and a place and time we do that. Worship is about honoring the Lord with my life. And if He's calling me to fast and pray on Tuesday night and no one else is around, that is as good for me as a worship service that sitting in this, like the best worship service ever, that's just as powerful where God's concerned as what we're doing in here. And that can go well beyond fasting and prayer and singing, right? So don't pigeonhole the Lord here. He's trying to get us out of this box and get us out in the world. Amen? Stand up and we'll close. Does anybody, if anybody has something, I'll pause here for 10 seconds. If anybody wants to add a comment or anything. I know, Steph, you did earlier.
Just what you're saying, it's all where the heart's at with worship and fasting. I mean, we can come here and sing songs, and if our heart's not where it's at, then it's for nothing. We can go fast and pray. If our heart's not where it's at, it's for nothing.
Amen.
It's all where your heart's at. You know, with the last class we did, talked about the established heart in Christ, and just putting that first.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I would like to say, I was at work the other day, and I had this lady come in, and she's from the church in Ashley right there that's like on the corner. Mm-hmm. I forget what it's called. But when she came in my chair, the Holy Spirit fell on both of us. And she started like ministering right to my spirit, and I started ministering right to hers. And she was describing everything that's happening in our church body. And
she's from a different church?
I know.
Oh my word.
But it was like she got it.
Amen.
And it just like broadened my perspective. Yeah. Of like she was like, so what?
Yeah.
Like she saw me as her her family.
Amen.
She was like, this is another member of the body of Christ, and you're here. Amen. But I'm here. And she was like, I'll pray for you guys. I'll pray for your church because he's sending things to you. I'm like, where is this coming from? But the body of Christ is the ecclesia.
Amen.
And Amen. So when we pray, we're also praying with our brothers and sisters.
Absolutely.
So there's a lot of
truth. And we, Lord's got something for this little, this place and what we're going to do regionally, just so you know. Like, I got enough word on that that we could spend a couple hours talking about that, but I'm pretty confident that's going to happen. Remember this, and then we're going to close in prayer. Jesus is the Word. Holy Spirit always connects back to the Word. One of the ways we stay out of real messiness is always check yourself that you're connecting back to the Word of God. Keep the Word of God as a high priority in your life. Holy Spirit will speak, but listening to Holy Spirit is not a higher priority than this Word inside of our hearts. This Word inside of our hearts is what keeps us walking without falling in the ditches on either side. Amen? Father, thank you for your Spirit working. Thank you for your Word. Thank you that Jesus basically said, I'm still communicating from the right hand of the Father. I still have plans. I still have purposes. I still have things to get done. My Holy Spirit's going to speak those things. And he's going to unction those things, and we're going to work together as a body of Christ regionally. We declare over this particular remnant that we are the ones that are working out in the fields. We're working out in the streets, that we are seeing others as the body of Christ, not this name on this building. And we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.